You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Associate Professor Dr. Lara Greaves this morning. Kia ora, Lara. How are you today?
Morena, good, thank you. Not a lot of enthusiasm for politics, but good. How are you?
It's been a bit of a week for headlines, hasn't it? Let's start with the whole Te Reo Māori road signs conversation, if we can put it in such polite terminology. What's been the gist of this in the news cycle this week, Lara?
The real gist is that basically a bunch of road signs need to be replaced over time, especially with cyclone damage, and Labor are proposing that they make them bilingual, which signs are increasingly becoming bilingual if you look around central Auckland, for example. But if we go back, we can kind of go back in history a bit with this, is that in the 1960s, there was a report called the Hun Report that came out, and it was the first sort of systematic exploration of inequity in New Zealand, and it showed really shocking statistics of things like Māori life expectancy and health. And one of the conclusions from the report that was then brought in national government policy, then Labor, of course, picked up the mantle from them, was around this idea of assimilation and this idea that Māori would move to the cities, would integrate, assimilate, and that certain aspects of Māori culture would survive because Māori wanted it to. So things like Te Reo Māori, and it was this very cultural, Darwinist kind of view of culture, and the idea there was that government shouldn't do anything to try to maintain culture. And so we see this kind of almost cleavage, this fissure, this kind of divide in New Zealand politics rhetoric going back at least 60 years, where some people believe that Māori culture is the thing of Māori and it's up to us and we decide what goes forward, and it's something that people do on a marae, and it's within that Māori culture and Māori, it's their thing, our thing over there, whatever. And then others think, okay, it is also the state's responsibility to maintain the culture, and especially with, you know, Waitangi Tribunal finding after finding after finding that it's also important that the state kind of gives recompense for that and kind of adjusts policy to make sure that they can make up. And we also saw the Māori cultural, what people call the Renaissance, although it wasn't as much. So that's like a key divide in New Zealand politics, and I'm still not sure it really has place nowadays as much, though.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, eh? And it's interesting to see these conversations, which do, I have to say, feel very archaic, hit the mainstream in 2023 once again. It's been a bit of a, what we've talked about quite a few times with you already this year, Lara, political football, putting Te Reo Māori and Māori identity in the sort of hot seat for kicking around ahead of the election. What does it say to you as we get closer and closer towards election season that we're still seeing these quite, I guess, bloody conversations happening?
Well, I've got to say, I wonder what's happening under that broad tent of the National Party. And of course, we've seen this play out under the broad tent that is the Labor Party before as well. And it happens with political parties where you have sort of, I guess, factions, blocks, or groups within that broad tent. That broad church was the language from back in the day. And there are groups, like we see sort of Simon O'Connor comment on the mother and the father comment and those sorts of things, that are quite conservative, quite old school. They're picking up on some of these older debates and rhetoric, and but they have to fit under that broad national tent. And they're really appealing to people who vote for them anyway, or would vote for, say, the ACT Party anyway. We do have a gap in New Zealand politics where we don't have a prominent kind of social conservative party, and that is maybe an area where we might see some movement at some point. But at the moment, it's like there's not necessarily a home for that group. But we see National try to appeal to this broad group, and it's not necessarily, like, I think those sorts of elements of National kind of might do it damage, because from what we can see from political polling, there isn't this large movement or large group away from Te Reo Māori. And if anything, this kind of rhetoric does serve to polarise the groups on either side, you know, the people who are quite super supportive versus those who, yeah, just don't understand the treaty as much. So it's probably just going to serve to polarise ultimately.
Let's talk a wee bit more about that, because we are starting to see quite a scrappy campaign from both the major parties, but also from some of our smaller major parties as well. it's already looking a little bit like it's going to be a real tug of war heading into the election this year. And we've seen sort of a statement from the Labor Party as well, talking about how they want to, you know, focus on what they're going to be doing. But also they want to be highlighting the alternative, I think is how they've put it, what the alternative could be, and perhaps obviously not in a positive light. What do you think about this? Is it something that you're concerned about, the potential for quite an ugly campaign this year?
I think we're already seeing the tone of the campaign to some extent. I mean, even Grant Robertson's comments at the Labor Party Congress recently were not exactly that uplifting type. I mean, it's that hard balance for every party to strike between attacking the opposition or attacking the government or whoever their opposition is on both sides now, because, you know, we do have parties on the further left and right, and it's that balance, but then also providing this positive vision. I would say on the positive vision front, there's not a lot of great evidence of that, and I think the real concern for that is around things like voter turnout. So we saw sort of this increase in voter turnout over the last couple of elections from that missing million point. If we remember back to, I think it was 2014, the Kim.com moment of truth, and a lot of kind of negativity and like not a lot to kind of turn out for in that campaign, with National clearly was going to win that. So I think this time round, although it does look like a close contest, which motivates turnout, it's not very positive, and it's not very hopeful, and I think that could have a consequence ultimately for something like turnout.
With the polling that we've seen in the last week, the most recent poll showed that National and ACT could take a majority. At this time of the year, what does that actually mean? How much of a sort of litmus test does that type of polling actually give us ahead of the election?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So we've just recently, a few of us have been working on kind of a guide to polls and looking at polling in New Zealand, because we don't really look at it so much. We just kind of just accept it as, oh yeah, cool, it's up, it's down, whatever. So basically, generally, all we can really say at this point is it's going to be close. So there's a lot of people are reading into like 1 week News Hub, their poll showing that Labor ahead the next week, you know, Colmar Brunton showing, or Kantar now showing that National are ahead, and we can't really read much into that. That's not really something that we can do. I just suspect that it's close, and that ultimately we should be thinking about the fact that last time the polls right before the election underestimated support for Labor by about 4%, 3 or 4%. So it's something to kind of keep in mind. And to also just like not listen to the polls that are, you know, leaked or lower quality, or just, yeah, like some of those ones that are sponsored by, say, the Taxpayers Union. That's kind of, then you can't quite get the technical report and see the full information.
Yep.
So we just need to be a bit critical of polls, and just really, like, if a gap were to open up before the election between the parties consistently across all the polls, or at least the two main News Hub and the Kantar One News One, then I think that's when I'd be going, oh, okay, it's showing that, say, Labor's ahead or National's ahead. But at this point, honestly, it's just messy, and I think we have to be really critical about reading into 1-2 points here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Lara, thank you so much for your time this morning. I'm sure we're going to come back to all of these topics across the next couple of months, because they seem to be recurring themes already of the election year. So.
Yep.
We will talk
still
to you again.
A few months ago.
Exactly. We'll steel ourselves. Talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care, Lara. Thank you.
Kia ora.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.